Georgia is, of course, a hub of multiculturalism, and students at Oglethorpe University in Atlanta are telling those stories through podcasts. It's all part of a class called Literary Tribalism, How to Read Race, Class, Nation, and Gender. This conversation that we're about to have about that class is part of our series, Lessons from Left Field, in which we learn about unusual courses of study around the state. Oglethorpe University professor Reshmi Hebbar joins us. She teaches this class. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Adam. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you. We're also joined by two of your students, Caleb Logan and Yasmin Tehrani. Morning to you guys.
Good morning.
Thank you.
So, Professor, where'd you come up with this idea for this course?
Well, the idea for the course touches on something you just said, multiculturalism. The idea was obviously to expose students to as many different cultural backgrounds, walks of life, something we call diversity, I suppose. The intersection of diversity and literature was the idea. And this is an idea that's been around in academia and universities for at least 20 or 30 years. I wanted to call it literary tribalism because I think that word brings to mind so many different things, and those different interpretations come to light in the classroom. For example, I think some students assume that tribes are self-chosen, that we choose to put ourselves in tribes, and that these are decisions that are sort of that we make. However, when we look at the works of literature that we study in the class, I'm hoping that what comes out is that there are real systemic issues, real systemic problems that continue to marginalize and displace populations and communities, not just in America, but around the world. The title, I have to give credit to a Nigerian author, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, who has written several novels, most notably Americana. She wrote a piece about a classic American novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, 50 years after it was published. And as a Nigerian author, she went back and reread that text and said that you can see aspects of, quote, American tribalism in To Kill a Mockingbird, aspects of race, region, and class. And I think most of us who've read that novel, or most people, assume that, you know, there is no tribalism in that text. And so I start the class with that novel, and we look at the construction of whiteness. We sort of deconstruct that construction, and then we move on to two other white writers, Philip Roth and Eugene O'Neill, to examine and problematize, what do we mean by whiteness? What do we mean by blackness? What do we mean by Asianness as we move throughout the course?
So it sounds like a fascinating course that you're teaching at Oglethorpe University, and though not one terribly unusual for an English department nowadays. I suppose what makes it really special is that rather than simply having your students perform work in the class in the form of papers, you're having them do podcasts. Where'd that idea come from?
Well, yes. I have always wanted to push my students to think about what literary studies and critical analysis can do for them after they leave my classroom and after they graduate. I think English gets a bad rap, that, you know, students are going to be left with just knowing how to read.
Right.
And so, as you mentioned, you know, we do write a couple of papers in this class, but the podcasting allows them to develop critical literacy skills, digital literacy skills, also to just think about what they've read through the course of the semester and see how those experiences that they're reading about in fiction may be mirrored in real lives in Atlanta. I really want to, you know, take them out of their box and out of their comfort zones and send them into the lab, into Atlanta, into the city, for them to figure out who's the best person to interview, what does that person have to say? And then I think most difficult for them is to cut down a one-hour interview, you know, to 5 minutes or 6 minutes and think about adding sound layers to that. Basically, I tell them this is like, you know, the hardest essay probably that you might ever write. But when you record your own thoughts and your own reflections about the person you interviewed, that's just a really great transition that we would use in an essay.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, based on what I do for a living. But Yasmin and Caleb, do you feel like you've been taken out of your box?
Absolutely. I have very little idea what I was doing, but hats off to Dr. Hebbar. She really walked us through that process. And really, once you found your subject, it kind of wrote itself a little bit. It was just then the editing it down and trying to pick what was most important.
Yeah, I think the problem of verbalizing such complex topics was definitely a difficult transition. I think with a paper, you have the space and the time to really just kind of hash out what words you want to use. But there's something spontaneous, I think, about these podcasts that really pushed all of us.
Well, Yasmin, let's listen to the podcast that you made for the class, in which you talked to a second generation Iranian American. And in this clip, she's going to talk about her struggles growing up in Atlanta. Let's hear it.
Okay.
For instance, when I'm here with my friends in Georgia State or wherever, I don't really feel like I can be completely connected with this American group because I will always be foreign in their eyes.
So what was remarkable to you about that story, Yasmin?
Well, firstly, I do on a personal note relate to that just because we do share the same background, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I also think her remark about placelessness is a universal sense to feel, I think, for second generation diaspora here. And I also think her difficulty at reconciling her dual identity was a really interesting point of conversation, because I think even in just immediate day-to-day interactions, you're trying to meld these two identities together. So it's really interesting to hear how pervasive that difficulty is.
We are talking about a course that is taught at Oglethorpe University, just north of Atlanta. It's called Literary Tribalism, How to Read Race, Class, Nation, and Gender. This is part of a series that we do here on Second Thought, where we look at unusual courses being taught around the state. With us is the professor of that particular class, Reshmi Hebbar. Also with us are two of her students, Caleb Logan and and Yasmin Tehrani. Reshmi, how did Yasmin do?
She did really well. And actually, I was so glad she said what she just said in terms of her own cultural background, because one thing, Yasmin was in my class last year, which was the first time I taught the course, and it was sort of a pilot year. One thing that I always noticed in class is Yasmin is super participative and articulate, as I'm hoping that you could just tell with her response. She never talked about her cultural background in class, unlike all of my other students. And so I feel like the assignment, at least in some way, the podcast assignment allowed her to bring that academically to light. I didn't tell her to choose the subject that she chose, but I feel like it was probably a way for her to participate in the more experiential-based discussions going on in the class that I can't really stop sometimes. I really have a hard time derailing those. And she was able to reflect upon this, her subject, in a way that actually touched on her life, which I found to be very gratifying.
Caleb, your podcast is about a Guyanese woman who has her own struggles living in the United States. Let's hear a clip from that.
I'm Guyanese, but I appear to be Black, but I have a totally different upbringing than yourself or even my husband at that, even when it comes to as small as taking your shoes off at the door before walking into a house. You know, he wasn't taught that, but in my culture, that is definitely something that is, it's known.
That's interesting. Caleb, where'd you find your subject?
So she actually works at Oglethorpe University, and we are close friends. So it was really cool to get to hear that side of her story.
Anything in her experience resonate with your own?
Yeah. I think what really impacted me from that podcast was the idea of monoliths. Even in reading through the class, I often thought of tribes as like these big monoliths that encompass everyone. And I think what she brought to light was there is value in having specificity even in that. Even though she is someone who would be encompassed under the idea of Blackness, it's also important to identify her as a Caribbean woman and kind of really reckon what that means and not just look at her as this Black woman without that Caribbean background.
Sure. Professor Hebbar, I imagine that as you were prepping your students to do this assignment, you had to do some interviewing training with them. I like to think that that's a special skill that can't just be done by anyone. And it's remarkable to me that an interview is itself always inevitably going to be a collision between two people of different or similar backgrounds, and those backgrounds are going to interact, perhaps just subtextually, over the course of the interview. Did you encourage them to be aware of what they were bringing to the table in terms of their own tribe and how their tribe might interact with the tribe of the person they were talking to?
Absolutely. They went armed with some sample questions about cultural background, but throughout the course, we would do these sort of 5 to 10 minute breaks from our texts of study and talk about cultural podcasts that are already out there. We did some listening to StoryCorps, and I would also give them exercises where I would ask them to sort of go out into the campus community and talk to someone, use their computer, record on Audacity, and then ask a follow-up question. Sometimes those were questions about texts that we were reading. Just to give you an example, we were reading a text called The Reluctant Fundamentalist by Mohsen Hamid, and I asked them to go find students, not show them the text, but ask them if they heard the title The Reluctant Fundamentalist, what would they think the text was about? And we got a whole range of answers. And so what I wanted to stress in that exercise is the follow-up question. How do you get something useful based on the follow-up question? And it was really interesting to see them think on their feet that way.
Let's try to listen to one more clip before we have to end this conversation. Another one of your students, Sam Kuttner, did a podcast on his dad. Let's listen to a clip from this.
They handed me a 40-gallon Texas hat, and they said, put this cowboy hat on, and remember, when you go out there, say, howdy, welcome to Pocos. And I said, I can't say howdy, okay? I'm not going to pass for howdy. Look at me. I'm an immigrant. I'm almost brown. I got this afro, which I did, okay? Do not tell me to say howdy. And they said, no, you have to say howdy. That's our policy.
So many intriguing elements in that. Reshmi, what'd you like about that assignment?
I absolutely loved Sam's podcast. That was his Pofolks story about his dad being forced to, I guess, I think it's a really nice way to think about sort of forced assimilation and the sort of cultural customs that we take for granted or that are imposed on us in being American sometimes. And if you were able to read Sam's rationale for his podcast, all students have to sort of debrief and write a rationale. He was very proud of capturing that moment of the Pofolk story, and he built the entire podcast around what that meant in terms of us versus them. So I was very proud of it.
That is Reshmi Hebbar. She is an assistant professor of English at Oglethorpe University. We're talking about her class there. We were also joined by her students, Caleb Logan and Yasmin Tirani. Great work, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much,
Adam. It was a pleasure.